off the cuff introducing you to Lindsay and Brian because Zach was supposed to be here to do that, and he memorized your bio and got ready, and then he got called away at the last minute, so he said, hey, can you introduce these folks? So I'm sorry that I don't know a lot of great things to say, except Brian was with us last year, and it was really, really awesome, so this should be great. And Lindsay, I just met yesterday, but she's been super fantastic and very encouraging and exciting to be around. So I can't imagine that with the two of them, plus a packet, plus instructions, that you're not going to have a life-changing moment. So enjoy it very much. May I pray for the two of you guys? All right. Father God, thank you so much for Brian. I thank you for Lindsay. I thank you for both of them being here out of obedience, faithfulness, for listening to where you're inviting them and saying yes to the invitation. We bless this session that's about to happen because, God, like we talked about yesterday, you have been planning this moment in time, this room with these people under this leadership, you have been planning since before the foundation of the earth. And so we are excited to step into a moment that you've been excited about forever. So we bless it, we thank you for it, and I just pray that the words that Lindsay and Brian share will penetrate hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit and cause us to be more like Jesus when we leave here today than we were when we walked in. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Amen.
Thank you very much. All right, gang, so we do have some instructions on the screen, and in case you're struggling with the first instruction, we're going to give you a little helpful video. So back to our instructions. Hopefully those are super clear for you. Hopefully you're enjoying the feel of a simple machine. You're putting wood into a certain machine and the power of actual cedar. Can you feel that?
Can you hear, Brian?
Thank you. So while you're completing all four instructions, I'm going to tell you a brief story. So I was in a marriage about 15 years in. That was failing, and it was failing because my need for control, my insecurity, my need for validation, my very, very religious, extremist expression of my Christian faith was crushing the life out of a marriage and out of my children. And I went on this journey to get healthy. And in my family culture, when the marriage is failing, what you do is get ready for the next marriage. But in this case, I felt like God was saying, time to get healthy, time to start digging in, starting to deal with broken stuff, excavate things that haven't been excavated, and find healing for those things. So I went on that journey, and as I'm getting healthier, the quality of my conversations start to change with everyone I talk to. So I was an investment guy, so I had headphones on, screens in front of me, and I'm moving money all around, and not a lot of personal interaction with people, but all of a sudden, the person on the other end of the line became incredibly important to me. And I started repatriating all my breakfasts and lunches to sit across from another human being where I could share the journey I'd been on. And amazing things seemed to happen in those conversations, so they became more and more important to me. Also, the people on the other end of the phone. So one day, a guy named Bill Souders from Chicago, and Bill wouldn't mind me telling you this story, said, hey, I want to come down. We've talked on the phone a few hundred times, but I've never met you in person. I want to come to San Antonio and meet you and your investment team. So we set up a lovely lunch with the whole investment team. And he calls the day before and said, hey, could you and I get breakfast alone before we have the group meeting? And so I say, sure, and we're having a great breakfast. And he said, I have a request for you. Would you mind coming up to my hotel room with me? and praying over me. I thought, that's an interesting note, no check from the Holy Spirit. So I said, sure, I'll go up. And we sit down, and I say, Bill, what's going on? And he said, I have a picture of you, an image of you, and you're standing in the middle of a raging river. And it's the river of life. In abundance, joy, life is flowing all around you, over you. And you're standing in the middle with arms out, just laughing. And he said, the picture of me is I'm standing on the side of the river, and I'm afraid to even dip my toe into the water. Can you get me out in the middle of the water where you are? What a beautiful, eloquent, simple request. And what an overwhelming thing to deal with. So Bill and I get back on the phone after he leaves, and we're talking every day, and I start to ask him the kind of questions that you might ask. What do you love to do? What makes your heart come alive? What are you energized by? What are the things that you feel like you could do all day long and be energized as much at the end of the day of the start? And so he tells me, you know, I went on a water drilling trip with one of my sons, and we watched this village come alive. We planted a water well in the middle of their city. They didn't spend 8 hours going to get water every day. They had fresh water in the middle of the city. And man, watching people come to life made me come to life. So, Bill, have you ever thought about going back? Yes, I have. Have you ever thought maybe there's some people you could bring along with you? And Bill said, yeah, I've got a couple of friends. And in that moment, I got a picture in my mind. And the picture was, I needed to be really direct with Bill. And I needed to tell him what I saw. I said, Bill, what I see is 10 boxes. And I see you calling this organization Living Water out of Houston, Texas, that does 200, 300 trips a year to drill water wells. And I see you telling them you're going to buy the next 10 spaces on their next trip. And in the white box that you're going to send to each of 10 people that you're going to make a list of, you're going to have 3 or 4 things. You're going to have a picture of you and your son on the water trip that you went on and a brief story about how it changed your life. You're going to have collateral from Living Water about what they do. You're going to put that stuff in there. You're going to have a fake plane ticket that has their name on it with a starting date and ending date of the trip that you're going to pay for. And then you're going to have 2 vials of water, one dated the first day of the trip full of dirty water, and one dated the last day of the trip with clear water. And I don't know where that came from. I don't know where I had this I know where it came from. But all of a sudden, I had this very clear impression of I need to push him, and I need to push him very specifically. So I know that happened because I got one of the boxes in the mail. So I get to open up this box and see all the stuff that he had sent. And I got to go on a water trip with him to Guatemala, and we went way, way, way back beyond where anyone should go, it felt like. And we drilled a water well, and incredible. On that trip, the president of Living Water International out of Houston had decided to join us. He and Bill became really close friends. So Bill, who was asking me how to get out in the middle of the water and what's the purpose of my life and what am I going to do with the rest of my life, went on the board of Living Water. And he's now taken dozens of trips and raised a ton of money for Living Water International. And if you had asked me at that time, what would you risk if you knew you would not fail? It would be, I want to have conversations like this all the time. I want to be in a position where I build influence and authority with people, and I get to ask him these questions. And I didn't ask Bill that question, but I asked him a version of, Bill, what would you do if you knew you would not fail? So this isn't a provocative question to get you thinking only, it is that. It's not something that's meant to force you to think about something. It's hopefully something that will awaken something deep and true about you. Maybe something you've never dared share with anybody else. And in my experience, when you ask questions like that and you follow the answer, it can completely change your life. So to us, that question's a very, very big deal. So this talk is on navigating uncertainty. We believe that if you decide you want to live differently vocationally, you can change a department. A department can change a company. A company can change a community. And we've seen it happen so many times that whatever level you're at vocationally, even if you're an island of one in a company like Derek talked about, that is not a very safe or healthy place, you as an island of one can start to live differently. You can craft a different vision for your vocation. And it can change your department, change your company, and change the course of a community. And we believe it because we've seen it again. So these pencils you have are not simple pencils. These pencils are created in the 1930s originally. Blackwing built a cult following that included John Steinbeck, Nobel Prize winner for literature, and other creatives who proudly used their black wings in writing and drawing. People love these pencils, the one you have in your hand, so much that when they quit producing them two or three decades ago, people would buy them for as much as $40 in the secondary market when someone had one. In 2011, they started reproducing them, so that's why you have one of those in front of you now. But you could say it's just a pencil, or you could say it's a pathway to creativity, to writing a different narrative for your life. They say it's perfect for artists and musicians, soft and smooth Japanese graphite core. Blackwing matte pencils are perfect for writers, musicians, business owners, leaders, people who want to draft a different version of their story. Unique iconic design, rectangular erasers that are synonymous with quality. Each of our pencils also features a specially designed ferrule. Anyone know what a ferrule is? That metal part at the end of the pencil that gives it stability so it doesn't fragment and break that precious Japanese granite. Allows you to replace the eraser and use the pencil long beyond the eraser's utility. Blackwing pencils are made from the finest materials in the world. Genuine incense cedar from California and premium Japanese graphite. So in our mind, him inviting a bunch of folks to go on a water trip may not have produced much results. But when he set a box in front of them with clean vials and dirty vials and pictures and an airline ticket with their name on it, maybe it was like an envelope that had carefully embossed name of the company on it. And instead of just looking at your materials, you had to slowly unwind a string to open up like a white box or a treasure chest what was inside. Maybe by not giving you a cruddy, typical event pen, but giving you a pencil that's been a vehicle for creativity for people for almost 100 years, you might be able to approach the work you're doing with the importance that we believe it should hold. Because we do believe you can craft a different story, a narrative for your life. We've done it for ourselves. We've done it for billion-dollar companies. We've done it for individuals. 800 people now have gone through our life plan process and rewritten the script of their life. You'll find out when Lindsay teaches you on this, which she does beautifully. Vision is a picture of the future. It's not a statement. It's a document. What I want life to look like. And in the context of this discussion, what I want my business or my department or maybe my functional role, entrepreneurial venture that I want to start that's going to be my portion of changing the world, the portion of the world that we have control over. Out of story, out of passion, out of a deep heart, given the resources they have, these two people are going to change a portion of the world. I got to sit and listen to them tell me about it the other night. You should ask them about what they're up to. It's really beautiful. What did I do with the click, click, click? Oh. We're not professional speakers, by the way. We're business coaches. So they say it's half the pressure, twice the speed. Have you written with it yet, this pencil? Can you feel the difference? Isn't it amazing? It's just a pencil. But it's so soft. And the way you write requires a lot less pressure. And they say because you have to use half the pressure, you get to go much faster, and you get to write much longer. Again, just a pencil. So we know that you're business owners, marketplace leaders, heads of families, people interested in translating your deepest beliefs into the operational, vocational track of your life. But more importantly than that, we know that you're co-heirs of a kingdom. The entire plan was that I would create something and I would hand it off to all of you to care for. And more than that, and maybe more importantly in this hour, I call you recreators. We need creation to be restored. We need a garden and a kingdom to be restored. And you have the opportunity to do that in your leadership role. So what is the one thing I would attempt if I knew I would not fail? We tend to know a lot about people and not really know them at all. So we're going to ask that you at your table, you would share the what. What would I do if I knew I wouldn't fail? And maybe a little bit of the why you care about that. And you're going to have 5 minutes to complete the task. And before I start a timer, one more warning, not having an answer is an answer. So we want you to all share your answer at the table. And if my answer is I don't have an answer, why don't you have an answer? Why do you think you don't have an answer to a question like that? So someone moderate the time, but 5 minutes, here we go. right, everyone. We're going to bring it back. I hate to interrupt great conversation, and I love watching blank stares at me turn into engaged conversation. I saw your incredulousness. I felt that up here. So at Summit Trick, we say everyone arrives somewhere, but very few people arrive somewhere on purpose, which meaning life's happened. 1 year from now, you'll arrive somewhere. 1 year from now, and everything you've done or not done will put you in the place that all of your actions took you to get there. We're really big believers that you can write a different future, partnering with God, and arrive at somewhere very, very different. So the vision exercise we're going to work through later on is all about arriving somewhere on purpose. And if you're not in a business role, which I would say if you have any kind of vocational role of any kind, you're in a position to change things. And I would love you to consider looking at it that way. But if you're not in any way, we'll show you how to do that personally as well. So we're going to look at a true story about some people who crafted a vision and arrived at a very, very different place. The two characters are John and Molly Chester. Molly Chester is an organic farmer. I'm sorry. Molly Chester is a chef, and she knows that if she can get closer and closer to the source of great food, she can probably produce a much better meal. So she has a desire to start her own organic farm. John Chester is a nature photographer who rescued a dog about to be euthanized, a photo situation he had to step into, fell in love with the dog, told the dog, "You'll have a home with us forever," and told, "We'll get you to a place where you can restore and grow maybe an organic farm, potentially." This is their story.
This all started with a promise that we'd leave the big city and build a life in perfect harmony with nature, like a traditional farm from the past.
Here we are, Apricot Lane Farms.
Molly and John are very happy about this. What do you think of this, Todd? Sometimes they were right.
Breaking news in California, 6 major wildfires.
I can see a lot of smoke.
We're starting to face new problems.
Oxygen were down, and then just breaks.
We just don't have answers for it.
No, no.
So this wasn't easy. The challenges they faced made the dream feel more alive. And they started out with a huge problem. So money, resources, ability to execute on a plan they don't really know much about. But they had a crazy dream, and they started researching. And as they researched, they talked about it, and they started to share it with others. And when they shared their dream with others, other people got inspired and excited about what they were doing. And a crowdsourcing situation happened where a lot of people started to contribute money to a fund they'd started. They were able to buy 200 improbable acres, and improbable because everyone else had abandoned the land because they said it wasn't farmable. And so the reason they were able to buy it is because everyone said it's worthless land. But they found a crackpot mentor, an organic farmer guy with crazy ideas. They drew an army of volunteers as they told their story as they were executing on the mission. They were told it would take 7 years for the land to fully turn over and reach its full fruition in terms of producing what they wanted to produce there. And finally, a dream was realized. And in the process, they said, if the whole thing from the beginning was to live in perfect harmony with nature, we made it this far by learning to live with a comfortable level of disharmony. And when we look at it like that, it was perfect. So if we think that we're going to embark on a journey to a different version of our life, our work, and it's going to be all rose petals and just dancing our way there, it's just not true. But if we accept the fact that there's going to be challenges and we're actually going to grow and mature as we overcome those challenges, it's perfect. It's perfect that we're going to go on a journey and face challenges. So here's what they overcame. Incredulousness of everyone. If you've ever launched on any new adventure, you're going to come across people who say, what are you thinking? You're crazy. Why would you do that? Huge financial hurdles they had to face, like we talked about. On the farm, as they start to grow, they have plagues of birds, swarms of snails, forest fires, floods, destructive rodents, predator animals, rivers of blood, biblical kind of stuff. Just kidding about the rivers of blood. Right? Biblical kind of bad things are happening when they're trying to do this. And finally, what do you think was the hardest obstacle to overcome? Fears and insecurity. Their own doubt, their own whispered accusation that you can't complete this thing. One of the reasons Lindsay's going to show you how to write a clear picture is because once the picture is clear, there's an incontrovertibly about it. Incontrovertibility about it, which means that there's a likelihood it'll occur once you document and craft that picture. So what they realized was a farm in perfect harmony with nature, they thought they would have 3 or 4 different varieties they would produce. 73 varieties of stone fruit, herbs, and vegetables, hundreds of pigs, sheep, chicken, ducks, etc. A community of hundreds, a journey that has now inspired millions and birthed the second film of this nature to catch up on them, an economically and biologically sustainable farm, a piece of paradise here on earth. You know anyone else who's looking for a paradise here on earth? You know anyone else who was created to live in a paradise here on earth? All of us were. There was a place, there was a garden, there was a simple way of living. There was a conversational intimacy with Creator. There was a pace to things that's very different than the way we're living. So, of course, this dream they craft inspired others because it was pointing back to the destination everyone was created for. Of course, that got people excited about what they were doing. So the Chesters had no experience, no resources, and no business. Some of you at least have a business. All of you have some experience. And maybe you have some form of resources, time, energy, money, etc. But what they did have was passion, desire, and clarity. And that's something essential for going on a different journey. And our plan here today is to awaken your passions, to give language to your desires, and help you find amazing clarity found in a clearly articulated vision. Vision, again, a picture of the future that we're going to actually work on. So we feel like a more abundant enterprise, leadership, or life comes at the end of 4 questions. Who am I? Why do I exist? Which are kind of purpose core value questions. Where am I going? Which is vision, which is what we're going to work on here today. And finally, how am I going to get there? Rather than rushing through the last 2 questions, we're going to answer question 3. And then we're going to offer, if you're interested, for us to send you information, easy, simple steps to complete question number 4. So either you write an aspirational picture of the future by writing a vision statement like the Chesters, or maybe you just get swept up in something that you can't avoid. And you heard Trevor talk about Summit Trek. We had this little vision. We're in San Antonio, Texas. There's 3 of us, and we're working with dozens of people. And in a year, we're going to work with a few dozen more people. We maybe add 1 staff. That was the plan that we kind of had. And God had very different plans. Our simple, scalable, obtainable plan got turned into something different. Because when someone asked us to go to Africa, we went there 6 years ago. We met with leaders in three cities, Durban, Cape Town, and Johannesburg, about 66 different businesses. We did for them what God had called us to do, which is coach them over a couple of days the way companies in America pay us a lot of money to do. Because we spent 2 days with them, some roots were planted. We found amazing like-hearted king partners, like-hearted kings and queens that believed and desired to see their country changed. We spent thousands of hours and a lot of money training, supporting, sharing information. Trevor and I collaborate on content for a business forum and writing all that. And now we had to revise our vision statement because there's thousands of leaders on four continents, and it changes weekly. Yesterday during a prayer time, Trevor said, hey, we're in the Sudan as of last week. But he just keeps adding countries. So part of our not just being in San Antonio as a little firm, but being open to the opportunity to do something larger is this unwieldy, growing, governmental impacting thing that we would have never imagined. And to us, we feel like we gave a little widow's mite, our IP, to this operation. And what God has done with that with some other partners is incredible. The thing that's blowing up over the world is Business Forum and a next generation leaders class. We actually do this for business in San Antonio also, and we're training coaches to do that. But the thing that's spreading like wildfire is this not-for-profit expression. And it's coming to North America for the first time after being on three other continents. And it's launching at this church here in the hills of Tennessee. So pretty cool. If you haven't heard about Business Forum and Next Generation Leaders, they have talked about it here. I would strongly encourage you to get involved. It's pretty much what companies pay us a ton of money to walk them through and teach them, broken down and simple to execute component parts. An operation to share ideas with leaders, to solve problems, to connect and work through kingdom kind of based leadership and business principles. So we hope you'll do that. So here's an example of a small company's vision statement that we worked with, and I'm going to hand it off to Lindsay.
So many things. Hey, guys. Yeah, so I'm just going to keep rolling here. I'm going to read you an example of a vision statement. And just so you know, we say vision statement. It's usually a bit longer than that. It's encompassing a lot more. So I'll read this. It's also a version of this is in on your papers, so if you want to follow along there. By 12/31/2025, we will be an employer of choice with a consistent culture, high employee satisfaction, and a sense of family. We will enjoy a regular rhythm of team meetings, social gatherings, and a good life-work balance for our teams. We'll have a tailored plan for the development of each team member that helps them realize their personal objectives and become better people. We'll have well-documented position agreements with clear roles and responsibilities. We're going to enjoy a healthy customer mix of residential, commercial, and builder business. We'll be known as the top half of the house experts with a broader complement of products and services, including roofing and other categories. We'll enjoy a strong network of referral partners with other best-in-class providers with similar values. We'll have combined sales of $10.2 million, which is 25% annual growth rate, with a 12 to 15% NOI. We'll operate from a centralized location with multiple service centers to adequately serve the markets we serve. We'll have identified and expanded into new markets. So you see how clear that is? Like, you can kind of feel and see what their company's going to look like in a few years. I think that was for 2025, so end of this year. But they probably wrote it a few years ago. So that's an example of a vision statement. The reason this is so important, and I feel like this theme has been reiterated throughout these last couple days, and I'm just going to say, restate something that Derek said this morning. Our focus shapes the beliefs that create our future. If we aren't focused, just like Brian opened up with, I love that quote, we're all going to arrive somewhere in a few years. But unless we get clear on where that is, we're not going to get there on purpose. And just honestly, before I started working with Summit, I was of the type that just liked to go with the flow. I'm just going to see where the Lord takes me, you know? And there's like, okay, yeah, but, and I was just, I'm going to throw Logan under the bus a little bit, but you okay with that? Okay, thanks. He's like, I don't know what that means. But I was just asking him, we were talking about dreaming and like hoping and really creating a vision. It's hard. And I said, why is it hard for you? Same reason it was hard for me. He said, it's because he's scared of disappointment. He doesn't want to fail. And if he gets clear about it, there's that sense of like, but what if I don't do it, right? And so as much as I like to clothe my lack of dreaming and like, I'm so godly, you know, I just follow God wherever he leads, which is true, like that we want to do that. But if we have no plan, what I started to realize is God's written a lot of that on my heart already. I'm just scared. I'm scared to really capture it and write it down. So writing it down is so powerful. Did you know that just by writing something down, a dream, a desire, it's already 42% more likely to happen? 42%. Yeah, she's like, I'm writing that down. I love it. But yeah, like we see that all the time. We do these life planning retreats, which is where we take people through a whole process, going back through their story, getting clear on their values and their purpose, and they write a vision for their life. And we find just by people writing that thing down, so much more happens. People come to us years later, they hadn't even looked at their life plan or plan on a page is what we call it, and they're like, I barely looked at this over 3 years, and I've accomplished 75% of it. Just because they took the time to reflect, get clear, and then write it down. So it's true for your business. It's true for your personal life. So we're actually going to do that. We're going to walk through the company. I started it, and I don't know how to go back. Yep, okay, sorry. So International Paper Company is the largest paper and pulp company in America. They have over 56,000 employees. They've been in business for over 100 years. So we're going to show you a video they created that encompasses their vision. And I just want you to watch it, take it in, and then we're going to talk about what you noticed. Okay?
At International Paper, we are committed to building a better future for people, the planet, and our company. Our Vision 2030 consists of 4 goals and 8 targets. To lead forest stewardship efforts globally, we will source 100% of our fiber from sustainably managed forests or recovered fiber, and conserve and restore 1 million acres of ecologically significant forest land. We will provide safe, caring, and inclusive workplaces by achieving 0 injuries for employees and contractors, greater diversity, including 30% overall representation of women, along with strong regional diversity plans. For example, in the US, this plan will include 30% minority representation and will strengthen our communities by improving the lives of 100 million people. To improve our climate impact and advance water stewardship, we will improve greenhouse gas emissions by 35% and reduce water use by 25% while implementing local water management plans. And to accelerate the transition to a low-carbon economy, we will create innovative products that are 100% reusable, recyclable, or compostable to promote the circular economy. Vision 2030 is our next generation of sustainability goals. Adapted to our changing world, they are holistic, connected, and ambitious. Vision 2030 goals are aligned with the IP Way Forward, and together with the IP Way and our core values, they will help us achieve our long-term vision to be among the most successful, sustainable, and responsible companies in the world.
What did you notice? Right. So fascinating, right? They don't talk about paper at all, but they talk about who they're becoming as a company and what that's going to look like, right? That's a great observation. Anybody else? What stood out to you? Yeah. 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 They're making these bigger connections, right? That are meaningful. Yeah. That's awesome. So good. Yeah, that was a great observation. My next question was, how do you think it feels if you were an employee to work at that company? How would you feel watching that? You feel good. Yeah, like you're part of something bigger, right? Like you have a role to play in this much bigger, you know, goal and dream, and that's motivating, right? And so that clarity offers motivation. It also, you'll see, it really rested on their core values, who they are. Like this wasn't some, it seems like in the people in the company understand their values, and they said IP way, which I'm guessing is International Paper Way. They have a way of doing things, their culture. And if they powerfully live that out over the next 5 years or 10 years in this case, it's going to look this way. And they were very specific of what they were going for, right? So that motivating, like you said. You see, and we kind of talked about all this, but it would be inspiring. Did you see they were very specific? Like their measurements, their goals were very specific. That's one of the things I've had to struggle with. And when someone's writing a vision statement, I challenge them on. Because we like to be vague because we don't want to be disappointed. We like to say, I would like a healthy work culture. And when I get 3 years down the road, I'm going to say, Lodine, what did you mean by that? Because, I mean, yay, but, like, if you don't have some specifics in there, that one example we gave, they were like, we're going to be doing social outings every month. We're going to have, I mean, it could be, we're going to have honest conversations. We're going to bring someone in. We're going to bring a coach in to talk about how to have crucial conversations. And that's going to create a healthier culture. You know what I mean? You're trying to get more specific. When you say healthy culture, what does that look like for you in your industry, with your desires, with your, you know, resources, things like that? So you're trying to be very specific. And it obviously focuses on the next steps, right? It's not just celebrating where they've been. It's going, but here's where we're going, and you're a part of that. So that's a great example. It's a clear written statement. We talked about that. It provides a sense of direction and goals. And it's a realistic commitment to that future. I do want to say something about realistic. Because you may not be like Logan and I. You may be a real dreamer that loves to stay up there in those clouds. Not a bad thing. But if that dream, if that vision you have for your life or for someone else's is so in the clouds that it feels unreachable, then that can actually demotivate your people. We've seen that happen. We're like, oh, the owner wants to triple our size, you know, by 75% in the next year. That's laughable, you know, based on the resources we have and the number of employees we have. So you want to make sure it feels a little scary, but not so far out that it's demotivating. Does that make sense? It answers the question. This is what a vision statement answers, whether it's for your life personally, for your department, for your business. You're going to get to kind of choose how you work on that today. But if you powerfully lived out your values and culture over the next 3 to 5 years, how different will things look when you arrive? So you get to kind of think about what does it feel like? What does it look like? What's happening? What's different? Those are the questions you're answering, okay? I do want to talk about what vision is not. It's not just simply a wish. You're not just like, well, I mean, I hope this happens. Write it down and hope that it happens. You're committing. By writing it down, you're saying, I'm going to do everything I can, partnering with God, right? You're co-authoring this with God. It's not up to you to figure it all out. That's what next point there is. It's not pure ambition. If I'm working with someone at a life plan retreat and they're creating the vision for their own life, if I see them start to get really nervous, I'm like, hey, this is not about what you can accomplish on your own. When you look at it, which we've been talking about this weekend, God has put these things in your heart. It's up to you to be responsible and steward that and say, here's that dream. Here's that desire. Here's that thing I feel like I want to go after. God's put it on my heart, so I'm trusting he's going to lead the process, right? I think what happens sometimes when we write these things down, now we're nervous. We're like, I've written all this down. I've got to complete it in a month. You know, we start like going, no, we've got time. We actually have breathing room to say, I put this down. I've got 3 years, 4 years. I can actually pace it out, and I can trust that God has put this on my heart, right? And I'm going to co-author this with him. So we're going to do this together. It's not all up to me. I think that's really helpful. It's not just ambition that we're going after, and it's not static or fixed. Brian talked about our own personal vision. It kind of got, we had to pivot, right? But here's what I say. Yeah, like things will change. When COVID came in on the scene, think anybody was ready for that with their visions? No. Things change, things happen, things shift. But if we don't have a plan, if we don't have a vision to begin with, it's really hard to know how to pivot, right? So I think my old excuse was just like, things change, you know, like God laughs at our plans, you know, all those little cliches that you just kind of grab onto so you don't have to do the vulnerable thing of like naming it and getting it down on paper, right? So it's not static. You're not fortune tellers in here. You're not psychics, right? You can't tell how everything's going to look in 3 years. We're not asking you to do that. But you have a pretty good idea, I'm willing to bet, of what you want your life to look like, what you hope for, and what you want your department or your team or your company to look like. Okay, so that's what we're going after. Additional benefits, it helps you work on your business, not merely in it. Who feels like they're just like head down? We call this working in response to, or like tyranny of the urgent. Everything's urgent. Your days, anybody get through their day at work and they're like, that you are busy all day and you're like, what did I do today? Like, what was that, you know? So we're trying to get out of that. We're trying to look at our business from a bigger, larger story perspective so we don't get continually lost in the weeds. Creates momentum and hope. And again, just a quick example from our vision. One of the things we had in our vision was to hire someone to help us with marketing. I reread the vision. We had an offsite just last week, so we reread through our own company vision. And I realized in there, this vision to hire this person is end of 2025. So I was able to breathe a little bit because I was like, I got some time, right? So it allows you to like look at that. It also made us excited because of what we've accomplished. Like we've hired, you know, we've created new positions. We've trained some coaches. We've done some things that we're in. We've had new expressions of life plan that we were very specific about. We want to do them for college age. We want to do them for just women. And we've done those things. So it also gives you a sense of like, look what we've accomplished as a team and stay on track for what really is priority. Because if not, there's a lot of things that can become real important, right? Real fast, just because it's right in front of your face. So we're trying to get out of that. We are going to, any questions before we jump into creating your own vision statement? Anybody? Okay. So I'm going to walk you through this process. These papers are in your folder, so grab those papers, and we're going to start on the top of page 17. I'm going to walk you through a little bit of it. I'm going to give you some time to work on it, and then we'll close out, ask some, you know, feel free to ask Brian and I questions if you get stuck along the way, but the first thing you're going to do, and awesome. Amazing, is pick your target date. So step one is, what kind of time frame are you wanting for this vision? I'm going to back up before that. Before we do that, I want you to get really clear on what vision you're going to be creating today. Is it going to be for your company? Is it going to be for your department? Is it going to be for your life personally? You get to decide. Is it for, some of you might have shared, you know, that question we ask of if you couldn't fail, what would you do? I guarantee there are some entrepreneurs in here that are like, I want to start this business. It's been on my heart for a long time, but I've been too scared or whatever. Maybe you want to write your vision statement based on that company you want to start. You get to decide. So just decide how you want to use this time. Be very clear on what vision you're creating, okay? So once you did that, once you've done that, now determine a target date. We typically suggest 3 years people kind of choose either less than or maybe a little more than because of how quickly the pace of the world is changing these days. Some people choose less, like 2 years, okay? But we would do suggest kind of staying 2, maybe 3, even 5-year time frame. So choose that and write that date on page 17. We also, because typically businesses run on a calendar year, so December 31st sometimes is a good time, but you choose the year. Okay, the second step. Oh, let me read this quote real fast. People typically overestimate what they can accomplish in the next few days and dramatically underestimate what they can accomplish in the next few years. Do you guys find that to be true? If I saw some of your to-do lists, I'd probably say, oh, you're really going to get a lot done today, you know? But when you look at that 3 to 5 years, we haven't even thought about it, most of us, right? So we get to dream a little bit today. Step two, we're going to just brainstorm for characteristics. So what will these attributes look like when you get to that date in the future? What are you hoping for? There's basic attributes. I'm not going to list all of them out, but what products and services do you offer? How big are you? Do you have multiple locations? Things like that. Those are just basic things. And then uniquely, how are your products different than other companies? How's your culture different? What does it look like? What does it feel like? Okay. So just at the bottom of that page, write whatever comes to mind when you kind of read through those things. You're not doing a full vision statement right now. You're just kind of jotting down, like, what are some of these things that are coming to mind as I begin thinking in that direction? Okay. These are all on page 17, too, so. If you're choosing to do your personal vision statement, obviously you're going to talk about what does your family culture look like? What does your life look like vocationally? What does it look like? How are you spending your free time? What have you accomplished? What are you hoping for? All right, keep writing. I see the black wings furiously writing, which is amazing. Okay, so the next step, we're going to get more detailed now. And this is where you're going to summarize these attributes by category. So if you look on page 18, you're going to get to flesh some of those things out that you just started writing about. So If you're doing this from a business perspective or a departmental perspective, you're going to summarize your characteristics in these different categories. So people and culture, product services, sales, profit, finances, processes and procedures. Those are the type of things you want to get real clear about, right? We'll have all of our SOPs done for onboarding new clients, right? Something specific that is measurable that you'll know you can accomplish. So go ahead and take some time to do that. Before you jump in, though, we have listed, these aren't on your papers, but if you're doing this for yourself personally, you can replace those categories. So friends, relationships, marriage, romance, physical well-being, finances, see stuff like one of someone that just created a vision statement at one of our life plans says, I'm going to be debt-free in 3 years. See what I'm saying? Or I will have progressed in my healing from this wounded relationship. I will have gotten help, right? You're not trying to solve everything. You have a few years. So take that, you know, step and make it real. There's just a quick story from my personal. I was looking back before we started on the vision statement I created from my life plan when I went through it 10 years ago. And I had started to learn the guitar a little bit. But in my vision, I wrote, I will have, it was for, I think, 5 years in the future. I said, I will have a killer fireside repertoire on the guitar. And so, but do you see how that clarified it? If I just said, I just want to play the guitar, that's not very motivating, and, or, you know, and people could think, I'm going to go tour with my guitar. That's not what I wanted. I just want to sit around the fire with my family and friends and play some songs that we could sing to together. That felt like, I can do that. That's motivating to me, right? It also, like, really helped me understand how to do that. I'm not going to be learning Ode to Joy. I'm not going to sing that around the fire, but I'm going to learn some songs that are, you know, Journey or like these things that are fun to play, right? So that was like exciting for me. And guess what? I did it. And the cool thing is, and you'll see this, whether it's with your company or your personal vision, as you start, and Brian noted this, as you start living out your vision and breaking through those fears and those doubts and partnering with God to say, I'm going to take one more step. Okay, I'm going to take one more step, right? You start to set other people free to do the same thing. And that's the coolest part. I have two stepdaughters. And one of them, when she turned 16, because we would just play around on the guitar, like just for fun, make up songs, sing. Guess what she asked for her birthday when she was 16? She wanted a guitar. How cool is that? And if you knew my whole story, because what we find is typically where you're assaulted is where your glory is. So my story, if you knew more of it, if I had more time, I'd tell you, but I was great. Music is always something I've loved. I used to, you know, when I was a kid, I would like sing in all the PTA programs and like, you know, and there was a moment, y'all, fifth grade, my crush is on the stands in this rehearsal and my voice cracks. And what happens? I made an agreement in that moment, never again. Well, I put myself in that situation. So I was not singing. So when I got this guitar and I started this journey, that may not be too difficult for you, but for me, it had a whole host of fears that came with it, right? But when you start breaking through free and when you start taking those steps, it really creates not just your own freedom, but the freedom of others, and that is pretty rewarding. So just know what you're writing down right now, the company culture you're creating, I mean, you could be creating complete life change for people, right? You create a job for somebody that gets to work in that culture, you're changing their life. So this is not just about you. This is about somebody else too, right? And so keep that in mind. I'm going to give you some time and then quit talking to actually work through what are these attributes for you, for your company, for your department. Whatever you chose, spend time on page 18 and 19 summarizing these things. And then we'll hopefully get to the last step if we have time. So can we get a little bit of thinking music for my people? We'll take some time to, any questions? Okay. Yeah. Could be both. If you're are you the owner? Are you awesome? So you could, I would say who you want to be maybe belongs more in the personal one. You're trying to create a vision for your company right now, I'm assuming. So people could be how you want the culture to be. It could be, I want to have these new hires. It could be, I have this person trained on this new software that I've need. You know what I'm saying? It could be a lot of different things. I mean, you could totally put that in there if you want your team. You're going to read this to your team, hopefully. So if you say, I want to be the kind of boss where people can come in and just be totally honest with me, even if, then write that. But you're going to be held accountable to that, you know? So, Brian, would you add anything? Beautiful. Right? If you knew how many times I said that with Brian working with him, I'm like, could I have just recorded what you just said? Yeah. So does that answer your question? Okay. I'll give you some time to work. Hey, Jessie just had a great question. She really needed to know where we were headed with this, and I appreciate that. So the paragraphed example in your, I don't know, what page it's on. Thanks, Jessica. Yeah, that's what we're aiming for. So all these steps are just getting us there. They're like brainstorming about each product, services, sales, those kind of things, just to broaden it so we can narrow it. Make sense? So that's where we're trying to end, is to get to those kind of paragraphs where we're very specific about the vision, what, where we're going to be in those few years. Cool. Appreciate that question, Jess. Going to give you just a couple more minutes. I know I wish we had a lot more time to go through the whole thing, but I'm guarantee you've gotten some nugget, right? That's given you some directional focus, which is what we really wanted to accomplish today. So keep working for a couple more minutes just to complete what you can. And the vision statement piece, when you bring it all together, that's going to take some work and finesse and maybe sharing with a friend, kind of helping you figure out how you really want to say it, what you really want to include in there. So, and Brian and I are available post this session if you want to talk a little bit about that or email us even. So, yeah, just get as far as you can. 2 more minutes. Thank you. All right. Hey, awesome work. Y'all just did something super vulnerable and something that, quite frankly, a lot of people never do. For the reason that Brian brought up earlier and that Logan and I were talking about, it's just fear, right? And really time. One of the things we talk about a lot as a coaching organization, there's a formula, a transformation formula. This is so fascinating to me. For transformation, it's 10% content, 30% practice, and 60% reflection. So just you having the time to reflect, right, on what the vision needs to look like, what's in your heart, what you desire, is really powerful. That's where a lot of this, yeah. Yeah, transformation formula, 10% practice, 30%, no, I'm sorry, 10% content, 30% practice, 60% reflection. Yeah, as a society, right? Think about how much content you take in a week's time, whether it's from your phone, a podcast, you name it. And we just don't have room anymore. We used to have a little room to reflect when we're waiting in line. Now we have this thing, right? So it's just we have to create time for that. The next step when you get time on your own is to write a rough draft of your vision statement. We loved it. Honestly, Brian and I, if you want to send your rough draft to us, email us, we'd love to see it. We'd love to just give you a little feedback if that would be helpful. But we're not looking for beautiful poetry or prose. It could even have some bullet points in it, right? Whatever works for you to get that on paper and to share it, hopefully with your team. Share it with your team members or others close to your business. If you have a partner in your work or someone you trust, an employee that could help you, you know, articulate it, that could be a really cool exercise to do together. This is the way you test your vision. Can you see it? Is it bigger than you? I mean, if you're a follower of Jesus, you got some big, like, you got resources, right? You've got a lot going for you. Does it engage your passion? Is it anchored in your past? Remember the international paper? That was very anchored in who they were as a company up until this point, right? So it needs to be anchored in your past. Those are all on your worksheets too. We have more, this was pulled out of one of our books of curriculum that we use with owners and leaders. We have more. The next month's installment talks about a strategic plan. So your goals, your strategies, your quarterly initiatives should come out of your vision. And that's the next step. So if you want that, if you would like us to send you that content, just drop, if you have a business card, maybe take one of those Post-its or the card we gave you, write your name and email and just bring it over there to where I was sitting and we'll send you that, okay? SummitTrekCoaching.com is our website. We also have SummitTrekLifePlan.com. I've talked about life plan several times. We love doing life plans because of the clarity and the life change we see. 15 to 20 people, we take you out, talk about giving you space to reflect. There's a city in Texas called Comfort, Texas, Spire River. So we take you out there to just this beautiful venue and walk you through the process of going through your story, getting clear on your core values and your purpose, really letting go of some of those limiting beliefs we talked about, and then creating a vision for your next 3 to 5 years. So if that's something you would like to do, we would love to have you come. May 2nd through 4th is our next one. So some of you should come. I'd love to see you there. We also have one in the fall. We're hopefully going to do one in the UK in August. We've already done a couple in South Africa. We have partners there leading those. So we've got a lot of options, but we'd love for you to come. So talk to one of us. Go to our website, SummitTrekLifePlan.com. That's actual comfort. That's a picture from where we're going to be May 2nd through 4th. Wrap up. So, first of all, well done. Seriously. That work is not easy, And dreaming and actually putting those things on paper is really vulnerable. And I just want to tell you, great work. Because back to that same quote, now you know something of getting somewhere on purpose, right? Instead of just showing up in 3 years, you have an idea of what that's going to look like. And that's something you hopefully or maybe didn't have before you started this session, right? So hold on to that. Keep dreaming. Keep praying. Keep having conversations with God about what that looks like. As a way to kind of end our time, one thing we do a lot as a coaching organization is we do a one-word check-in. So we just want to check in with you, see how you're doing, how you're feeling at the end of the session and middle of the day. So I want everybody to think about one word that represents that. Some of you may have the same word. Don't get mad. Just what is a word that really represents how you're feeling right now at the end of this session? So Logan has a mic. He's going to pass it around. So just tell us your one word.
I'm energized.
Awesome.
Circular. Just thinking through.
Love it. That beautiful.
Beginning ends.
Ready.
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 Cool.
Overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed. That's real. That's real.
I mean, I guess excitement.
Excitement?
Yeah, excitement.
I can see it in your face. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, my word, I just thought pumped.
Pumped. I love it. Very cool.
Is it happening?
Is it happening? Love it. It's a question.
Expectant.
Expectant. Yep.
Brave.
Brave.
Processing.
Processing.
Curious.
Curious.
Considering.
Considering. Good.
Hopeful.
Hopeful.
Thought-provoking.
Nice. It has a dash in the middle. Yes. Thought-provoking. We made it one.
Yeah.
I love it. Yes. So good.
Pleased.
Pleased.
Motivated.
Motivated. Very motivated.
It's thrilling.
Thrilling. Beautiful.
Hopeful.
Hopeful.
Encouraged.
Nice.
Inspired.
Awesome.
Hopeful.
Hopeful. A lot of hope in here, right? That's fantastic. Processing, encouraged, inspired. That's so good. I'd love to hear, too, Bella, Lim, y'all want to say anything? You have a word, Bella? You want to check in?
Squeezed.
Squeezed. That's fair. One word, Lim.
Thankful.
Thankful. Beautiful. Well done. Logan?
Capable.
Capable. Bring it. So good. Okay, so lastly, typically we do something called wiffle, which is what I feel like expressing. That's kind of wifle, so I like to add what I finally feel like expressing. But we're not going to throw a wiffle ball around today. It could be dangerous. So I'd love to just hear from two or three of you, what's an insight that you have now that you didn't have at the beginning of this session? Or what's just something you want to hold on to, something you want to take away from our time together? So does anybody have anything kind of top of mind that they'd be willing to share? Yeah, Jessica.
It was insightful, right? So I've thought about my dream as a business, but then I had no idea how to even articulate that in my mind. And so going through this has been incredibly helpful. And it's like, it's caused me to like really believe in like myself and my dream. And when I explain it to my team and, you know, and they're so encouraging and I just feel like this is just God. And I'm excited.
That's
I'm excited.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool to hear. Thanks for sharing. Anybody else? Yeah. Jacob?
I guess just a takeaway for me is that having a clear vision over my personal life and over my work brings the clarity that I need in the moments when I'm feeling the most down or discouraged or 100%. Challenged in ways that I feel I don't have an answer for.
Yeah. So good. It's so true. The vision kind of brings you back to that anchor point, right? When you read it. I love that. Well said. Anybody else? Can we hear from one more person? See how much time we have. One more person. Yeah. Logan's getting his steps in.
This made me ponder the overflow to other people who will be joining us in our business. And something that was said is you have the impact of others' lives. You bring fullness and more into their lives. And I guess I hadn't pondered that very much before.
It's a wild thought, right?
Yeah.
That you living out what God has called you to live out in the exact way that he's called you to do it changes other people's lives. It has a huge impact. We call that being a restorative presence, and we love that because it's like that's really what we do as a business is we're trying to unlock that in people so they can become a restorative presence at their work, in their families, right? I mean, could anything be better said of you at the end of your life that you set other people free by just the way you lived? Yeah.
Just hired Lindsay's husband to come be a sales leader. And for 15 years, he had a vision for a culture inside of a company. Sales is not always the place that's seen as the most high integrity in most firms. And he crafted this very bold, abundant, change the lives of everyone culture inside of a company. And he's leaving to come work for a company I'm a part of. And everyone on his team said, I'm not a better salesman only. I'm a better man. I'm a different human being. I'm a better life giver to the family and people I know. You have the right, the opportunity, I would say, maybe the responsibility in our worldview to do that for the people under your care. We know a young plumber who came out of a really difficult situation, and he decided he wanted to create a training curriculum and train young men from his challenge community to become master plumbers. So he created an expedited path. He built a warehouse. He built stations to train them in every single thing they had to know so they could become plumbers very, very quickly and become master plumbers very quickly. He started his first consortium last week where he had a team of them go through, training them, getting them up to speed. Some of the people he's training will go to work for other plumbers. But he just wants to empower people from his community. His training protocols are so profound, the National Plumbing Association is adopting his training protocols. He's 30 years old. He just had a vision, I want to change the course of for young people in my community, give them a different career path, and I have a business, and how do I use my business to empower people to change their lives and change our community? You get to do that if you choose. You really do.
Can I just say one more thing?
Yes, ma'am.
Brian wouldn't say this, but I used to work at a company Brian led, and my husband did too. Well, that's what the company that he's currently moving out of. But when he started there, before I knew him, he was going through a really, really tough divorce. And he really didn't have a relationship with God. And through Brian having conversations with him at work, about the deeper things in life, and showing him and modeling what that looks like, my husband changed. He's now my husband. He wasn't then, but it shifted his life entirely, and it shifted, the way he's a dad, shifted the way he shows up in our marriage. I know he's a different guy now, and he led his sales team in the way that he saw Brian leading him. And so to hear his team say, they know the impact that Brian had on my husband. And they looked at him last week when he said, I'm leaving. And they said, this legacy continues. You were impacted by Brian. Now you've impacted all of us, right? I just think I love those stories because I think we lose sight of the fact that work is where we're spending most of our time. So letting that be the place where these transformational conversations happen, like Brian said, that you have the opportunity to do that in your way, the way you've been created to do it, it's unique. So live into that. Thank you so much for your time. We're excited to hear stories. So let us know, and let us know what you need. Don't forget to put your email address over on this table if you want some additional kind of next steps. And, yeah, great job today. Yes.